I would rather you listen to the Land of the Giants than watch it.
On a Saturday night at 8 o'clock, when Quinn says, watch a movie, I'll say no. I would rather listen to Land of the Giants.
Let's just look in each other's eyes and listen to this podcast.
That's right.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hey, Ted, we have another Sunday night recording for episode 127. So another, well, I wouldn't say longer week. We went Sunday to Sunday, so we actually didn't really have a short week.
Uh-huh. We had a standard 7-day week, right?
That's right. We just we time shifted 2 days, or day shifted, or I don't even know. But yeah,
what happened this week? Because I mean, like, I am, you know, notorious between the two of us having to shift the times, but I was getting stuff ready for Friday night, and then you were like, hey, how about another Sunday? And I was like, thank God, anything for you, Jimmy.
No, I rode with my friend Jared yesterday morning, haven't seen him forever, and he too works from home. He does like software engineering for car navigation for autonomous vehicles.
Oh, sweet.
And his wife doesn't work, and they're just sitting at home, and they live out on Halama Road. So like, he doesn't come in contact with anybody, so I know he's okay. And Clarissa gets tested every week, so I'm not infected by proxy.
Right.
So we felt it was all right to go out and ride together. And then we stopped for breakfast at a restaurant in Buellton, Ellen's Danish Cafe, or say the Danish Pancake House, I guess.
Oh, cool.
And everything was outside, which was really awesome. Lots of people on bicycles, whether it was for sports or commuting around. I felt very Euro, you know, and they had like the tables spread out enough to where everybody was kind of away from each other. And it was well done. And the food was tremendous as always. And I had some Danish pancakes and eggs and stuff. It was really good.
Now, do you do that at the end of your run, or do you do that?
Well, typically when we ride together, we'll ride to like a coffee shop in Solvang, or, you know, we'll go somewhere. And for this particular route we did, usually what we do is it's kind of like either an out and back, or if it's a loop, we'll set up like a restaurant to be somewhere like in the middle of the loop, and we just stop for coffee and, you know, sometimes like a scone or something. And, you know, this place has such awesome Danish pancakes, I couldn't help but get a stack of them. And yeah. But all this talk about food and everything, man, we got to get to some beer.
Let's do it.
All right. What is it that you are drinking today?
Okay. So once again, I have another farmhouse ale.
Oh, cool.
But this one's, called Spontane Wild with an E. And it's called Spontaneously Fermented Ales. Ale.
Okay, so it probably has a wild yeast in it.
Yeah, so that's exactly what it says. It says...
Very cool.
Shoot, what? I hate this.
Those are exciting, man.
Right? Spontane Wild's unique blend of spontaneous fermented ales aged in oak barrels for up to 2 years.
For 2 years? Holy cow.
The wort is cooled and inoculated overnight in our Klopsch Chip loft.
It's pronounced wort. Wort.
Wort. Even though it's O?
Yes, it's pronounced wort. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And it's bottled in pear juice, provides natural carbonation. So I'm hoping it's very effervescent.
So pear juice probably has some sugar in it, and that's where the carbonation comes from.
Yeah, let's crack this.
I would assume. I don't know.
Tiny bubbles. Ooh, the aroma of pear is there.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I have your favorite glass.
Is that the
Michael
Carmelite?
Glass? No, it's the mic.
Oh, yeah, that one's very cool. I like that glass. Yeah, this week, while you're taking your tasting and getting your notes together, I have a Barrel House Brewing Big Sur Double IPA at 9.3.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you ever had this.
That's what... So, Frank and I, that's the one Frank and I have been drinking. I got six packs of that the past couple weeks. So, in between the show, the Big Sur... Double IPA is what Frank and I have been like pounding away from since the 4th of July.
So you like this?
Oh, we love it. Yeah.
So I'm taking it's a West Coast IPA from Big Sur, I would assume.
West Coast IPA from Big Sur. And it has...
Ooh, the aroma is good.
Yeah, it has. It's very heavy on the citrus. I think Frank was not as sold on citrus, but...
I'm not usually, but I'll let you know.
Yeah, and then when we had the second six-pack of this, he was happy by the second beer, and he's like, I think I can get used to this citrus. And I was like, yeah, 9.5 doesn't hurt either, you know what I mean? So here are the taste notes on this.
Yeah.
So last week we had the not so jalapeno, but this one is
not so
is all what it wanted and said it was. So it is as advertised. It's a nice, has some sour notes, has some farmhouse ale notes, and it definitely has some pear effervescence in it.
Yes, this is very citrusy. But I'm going to be happy when it's over for two reasons. The citrus will be gone and it's 9.3%.
And we're doing 9.3%. We are doing 9.3% of like little 12 ounce cans, and you got the big 22 there.
Yeah, I have the big 22. So it's an awesome beer. I really enjoy it. I'm not a huge fan of citrus, but this one is well balanced.
Yes.
And I think it's all around a solid double IPA. Typically double IPAs tend to be more on the malty flavored side,
and right,
they tend to be heavier on like the mouthfeel and everything. This is really light and airy in a sense, and it's really good.
And it's for the summer. It's like you know,
exactly.
If you need a lager or something like that because you want it cool and refreshing, this is a refreshing double IPA.
Though, can I say, this is probably our coldest time of year. I'm going out in the morning with, like, arm warmers on, and you know, it starts off like, I mean, we're waking up to, like, 45 degrees in the morning and stuff.
I'm running at 7 o'clock in the morning, sweating when I step outside my door because it's 85 at 7 o'clock.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, not here. Clarissa goes to work like with a scarf and she's all bundled up and everything. It's hilarious, man. July, we're freezing on the coast.
You're like San Francisco. That's like San Francisco weather.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. What did Mark Twain say? My coldest winter was a summer in San Francisco. Yeah, that's how it is, man. That's how it is.
So true.
How was the week?
Good week.
A full 7-day week.
The full 7-day week. I had all 7 days. I made it through all 7 days. Thank goodness.
You're here.
I'm here. My kettlebells were supposed to come in and they didn't arrive. So I was a little bummed out about that. But you know, when you order stuff from China and you get them dirt cheap, there's a reason they're sitting in a container.
And they come
somewhere.
In like obscure packaging. And yeah. You ever notice that China Post?
But I'm sure it's in a container somewhere. So it's almost here. So we'll hopefully get that going. And then I built some shelves in the garage, you know, for it. And I built a little workout chart.
Oh, yeah. You got to keep your log. You got to keep your log.
Got to keep the log.
If you don't have the log, you're going in blind.
I was kind of forgetting, like, am I doing the incline, you know, dumbbell presses now? Or am I doing the decline flies? You know what I mean? So I charted it all out and we're moving that along. So we're doing a good thing. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe we'll spend a few minutes talking about your manifesto there.
If
you want to, but
that's up to you.
We had some strong feelings in the Willett household, and I was like, you know, but I think there's a point here, and I think there's you're speaking from a very personal space. But now we have to put it up on the website. We have to put up your manifesto on the website because we're talking about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you wanna tweak it, you can. But we'll put it up in our long forgotten article section in our website.
Oh, the article section. I even forgot about it. Yeah.
But yeah, so you were, I'll let you discuss it, but when we talk a little bit later, but yeah, so that was my week, a lot of workout stuff and, watched a bunch of movies. Not any movies came out, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, we had a quiet week. I learned that the school district is going to start with distance learning, so they are not going to be in the classroom come August, which, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. When I told the boys, they both cried because they want to be at school with their buddies.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know what my job's going to look like. I guess we'll find out.
Are you in the same it's the same district, but it's completely different grade levels.
I'm at a high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm at a high school. But yeah, it's the same school district, so everything is going to be the same, you know, as far as distance learning and everything. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what we're looking at or what the school year is going to take. And I mean, who knows? I heard, on one of the science podcasts I listened to, there's talk of a vaccine maybe by the end of the year.
Right.
And they're working through like animal trials that are promising and so on. Hopefully. I mean, you know, if it goes longer than by the end of the year, this is just going to get ugly, I think.
Yeah.
Both on the financial side of things, the infection rate, death rate, unemployment rate, you know, and health insurance. I mean, like, everything's just going to get ugly because, I mean, how many times can the government bail us out until even they're broke?
Right.
You know, inflation will go crazy because it can't just be printing money, you know?
Exactly. The federal government doesn't go broke. They just inflate everything. So,
yeah.
You know, if the U.S. inflates our economy, then that's as bad as going broke.
Yeah, exactly. You know, more bike riding. As of today, I'm at 79,091 feet of elevation gain.
When are you due? I saw that on Instagram. When does it end?
August 15th.
Oh, so you have plenty of time.
So I have a few weeks yet. Yeah, I have roughly 21,000 feet. I mean, I'll make the number. I mean, hopefully I don't crash and break anything, you know, but no, I'm just saying, you know, I should knock on wood somewhere. But yeah, I mean, if, you know, now I'm in the home stretch, I could go out and just do things and I'll get it. You know, like I think that 10 days of climbing, man, you know, putting in the work got me there. Mm-hmm. And then we got the Xfinity Flex box, the over the top box. And well, you know, to make a quick story of it, and then I'll get into the details, we're back to Roku.
Right.
The Flex was, you know, this is the one Comcast Xfinity has. It's like their new OTT. Mm-hmm. And they recently got Hulu, and they don't have Disney Plus.
Really?
I guess Xfinity and Disney are contentious, is what I was reading, because I'm looking, I'm like, well, why don't they have Disney Plus? When are they getting it? And there was like articles that people wrote about it on various websites and tech sites. And
well, they're owned by Comcast, right?
That's right, yeah.
That's why they're a competitor on one end, you know?
Yeah, they're a competitor, but also when they tried to make deals and things, like neither one was playing nice with each other. So then they just don't carry it now. And I don't know, maybe Disney might not let them. I'm not really sure, but yeah. So anyway, that side of it's kind of ugly. The side of business that does that.
Right.
The graphic interface, the GUI, meh. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's it works. I'm not excited about it. I don't know if you can move the apps around to reorganize the screen, delete stuff you don't want and everything. I haven't gotten that far into it yet. The remote is very busy. It's one of those standard Comcast kind of remotes with buttons all over the place and everything.
Way too many buttons.
Way too many buttons. You don't need all those buttons. I mean, I think it's intended to control like cable boxes and DVRs. And I think it's supposed to be able to control all that stuff, you know? But it's like, just give me a OTT remote with like, you know, go and stop.
Right.
You know, that's all I need. And then the other side about it, which Clarissa uses all the time, and which I think is a very cool feature on the Roku, is the headphone jack on the remote.
Yes.
And like she uses it when we're doing this stuff, so she's not blasting out in there like messing up the microphone on my end. So she's able to listen in her earbuds through the headphone jack. And yeah, I mean, overall, I think it's kind of along the lines of, you may remember, the Amazon Fire Phone. And it's one of those things where you're kind of late to the party.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Apple TV's been there a long time. Roku's been there forever. You have the Fire Sticks. You have whatever the Google one is. The Chromecast.
Yeah.
If anybody even uses that thing. But all these bigger platform stuff is out there. And then here comes Xfinity, which I think where they fail too is they're not in every market. They're only in the markets they're in, so they can only talk to the customers that they have, and they can't expand their market for the box anyway. but I don't know. And then you have to log in with your Xfinity account, your Comcast account.
Oh.
And I think that's how they then give you the premium Peacock.
That's good, though.
Through that. Yeah, it's included. So I'll probably keep it. I haven't investigated enough. I'm not sure if there's live sports on there or not. You may know more if you did some investigating, but
I enjoy the live news. That's my favorite thing on Peacock.
I have them both hooked up, both going into the back of the preamp processor. Mm-hmm. Just made another turn on the dial to get to it. Yeah, if I'm gonna do something on Peacock, it's there. If I'm gonna do like maybe the news, or if there's live sports, like let's say they're gonna have the Super Bowl on NBC. We're going to have a Super Bowl party and they'll stream it through Peacock or something, then sure, I'll do it that way.
Or the Olympics. Next year, the Olympics, I think, are going to be big on Peacock. So
yeah, the Olympics. I'll keep it for those things. Mm-hmm. They sent it to me free of charge. Peacock is free of charge. So I thought, even if it sucks, I can send it back. But for those few windows into a few things, I will I'll keep it for that. But I think it's all Roku all the time still. I mean, the Roku, I think, easier to use. You know, I'm trying to show Timmy how to navigate the Comcast. He's looking at this remote like, what on earth is going on here? You know, and the best way to describe it is it works for what it does. If you don't have any OTT, I would get it. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's not anything. It's like, you're not going to be offended by it. And I would say that, you know, it's a good supplement if you don't have anything.
Right.
But if you already have an Apple TV or a Fire Stick or a Roku or something, I wouldn't jump ship. I would stick with what you have.
Yeah.
There's more available on those things, on those platforms.
Yeah. And I have the Fire Stick and the smart TV in the bedroom. But the Fire Stick and the Fire Box that I have, the two Amazon pieces, Amazon 2 does not have Peacock on it, but it does have, there is a hack. So you can get a downloader and you can order a hacked app that loads onto your Fire TV boxes and stuff.
Now, maybe we're going into uncharted waters here or something, but is the hack like a legal thing or something, or is it okay to do that? Or are they going to like zap your thing when they find out or something?
I don't know. It seemed pretty open. You know, there's always been like file systems on the device, you know, so you could get to like developer settings and things like that. So my developer settings were already on. So it just was something that I had to kind of side load, they call it.
Yeah, because the Roku is almost designed to be hacked. I mean, that's, you know, it came out open source way back when, and, you know, and there's a lot you could do with it. I don't. I mean, I did at the beginning, like, oh, cool, I could put on 1,000 different, you know, and then you're like, but what am I watching?
Exactly. That's why I had this already, like, jailbroken, and then I forgot that I had it because of so many things that are on there.
Yeah, exactly. And then all you're doing is like Netflix anyway, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's it for the Xfinity Flex. I mean, like I said, overall, just to summarize, if you have nothing and you have access to it for free and everything, yeah, absolutely get it. It's a way to get, you know, I would say it's better than the apps on my smart TV, which I never use. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about it is it interfaces a lot easier with like your surround sound system and all that than does like a smart TV does. Unless, I don't know, maybe my TV is a little bit older. But overall, I would get it if you have nothing. If what you have works, makes for good sound, a great picture, and you have all the apps that you want on it, don't waste your time.
Unless you want a couple pieces of content like Brave New World. Yeah.
Yeah, like Peacock. That's true. So, and you can't get it anywhere else. So like Peacock, for example, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but Peacock is, like you said, it's not available on Amazon without a hack. Mm-hmm. Is it available anywhere else that you know, or?
So it came out basically as a mobile first kind of platform. So it came out to the big, you know, I think Android and Apple. So I watched it first on my phone, you know, going to sleep at night, trying to watch The Matrix, you know? So basically it's meant for mobile first. So I think it's kind of ignored thumbed its nose at the general OTT crowd, and then, you know, stayed in bed with its, you know, parent company Comcast and their digital subscribers through Xfinity.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
So it's more of an extension of Comcast than anything, you know, Peacock.
Exactly. Yeah, and then of course you have like, well, everything but Disney. All right. So speaking of everything but Disney, I sense a theme this week. You were starting to get into a theme.
Yes.
I don't know what the theme is because the theme kind of bounces around between books into these shows and movies.
Uh-huh.
Pills. The supernatural in a way.
Uh-huh.
So the supernatural, like just for example, Project Power we'll get to, but that's like the pill for power, pure power. We got to talk about what that means. A Brave New World looks a little dystopic.
Right.
But they're trying to like fool, almost kind of like Matrix-y.
Uh-huh.
And then The Secret, Dare to Dream, and that's sort of like, if you think it, it will happen. And then the kid wants pizza.
Yeah, and it's at the door 2 seconds later.
So that's like, I don't know, is that the theme you were going for? Or maybe not going for, but that you recognize?
Yeah, so The Secret, I...
Like supernatural, I guess?
I guess before The Secret, it was definitely the pill. The pill thing to me was so prevalent in both Project Power and Brave New World. They just had so much to do with them about pill popping. You know, it was so integral to these stories and these trailers that I thought, oh, this is an amazing kind of theme. But then I saw this little movie called The Secret with, you know, some not, I guess they're not A-level stars, but they're known names. But and they've been, you know, they've been around. So I thought, this is interesting. It felt like a religious movie, you know, almost. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. Again, there is this same theme of striving for this perfection or this striving to attain something that is unattainable. So I think that to me, that ended up being the theme that kind of painted into the spaces we were going. But I definitely wanted to be about the pills initially.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it started too, but then we would only have to do two trailers tonight.
But yeah, so which one do you want to start with?
Well, let's start at the top, Project Power.
Okay, Project Power. So this is a Netflix movie.
Right. You take a pill for 5 minutes of pure power. What is pure power? And so I think they need to define pure power, or is it like different for everybody?
I think it's different. So I think you get pure, you get the release.
Do you get to choose yourself?
No, you get the release of whatever your pure power is.
Oh, okay. I follow you.
So you get it revealed to you the first time you take it.
Right.
But apparently there is a risk, right? There's a risk to taking it that if you have the wrong pure power, if you have a certain kind of power, that you can also die from this. If you take it and you don't have it like calibrated properly, or if you can't handle it, you know?
And then how powerful is pure power?
I guess it depends on which power you're wielding, you know?
The reason I ask is the one dude punches and he hits the earth and he cracks like the asphalt.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. If you're talking pure power, you're gonna hit the asphalt and you're gonna wind up in China.
How powerful
is pure power?
And what is pure versus ultimate? It's not the ultimate power. It's not, you know, earth cracking power, you know?
And is pure like I have the ultimate power, or is pure like I have, like my soul is pure?
I think it is the unleashing of
ultimate power,
your internal power, your, you know, what's inside of you. So this is Jogo Lev, the one you're talking about, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who,
yeah, punching the earth,
punching the earth and getting a bullet to the side of the head, you know, like, and it bouncing off of him or something. So yeah, he has like ultimate strength that he gets when he takes the pill. But, you know, I like the idea of a different kind of take on superheroes. You don't have to be in the form of X-Men or the DC Cinematic Universe, or whatever it's called, the DC Universe, and then the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You can be outside of that space and still have a superhero kind of movie. So I think this is interesting where it does that It does all everything a superhero movie has to do without the need for legacy or lineage or even a comic book background. I don't know if this had a comic book background.
Yeah, and did you notice it within the trailer? I'll call it a cameo. It's probably more than a cameo, but in the trailer, it was a Casey Neistat cameo.
What's that?
Casey Neistat?
Oh yeah, yeah, Casey. Oh yeah, Casey. I noticed him, but I didn't realize what he was doing there.
That's why I said it's like a cameo. They just show him, and I think it's so anybody who recognizes him, one of his like millions of YouTube fans, would ever be like, "Oh my God, Casey Neistat! I'm watching." Like, just because they put his face in there, and I guarantee you that's why they threw his face in there, is for no other reason than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to get those views.
Yeah. So all of us, like, I don't know, what does he have? Like a couple of million people on YouTube that watch him or something. And he's probably like, just the mere fact they show his face, boom, there's like a few million views.
And it was so quick, right? It was super quick.
Yeah. It was like a second or two. It wasn't. Yeah, exactly. So if you could have a power and you were able to choose your pure power, what would it be? Pill or no pill? I don't care if there's a pill, but what would your power be?
Oh, man. And this is such a silly thing. You know, when you're a kid, you'd think, I always thought flying would be really cool.
Yeah.
But there was something about, and it's such a stupid thing because I guess I could have this if I just chose to have it. But like ultimate willpower, is that a weird thing to say?
Ultimate willpower, huh?
You know, like if I could just.
Yeah, no, I got it.
If I could just like will to do whatever, you know, like to just power through things and to just, I don't know. To me, that was always an interesting thing that nobody ever talked about. You know, everybody wants to fly or be invisible and stuff. But I was like, but if you had the ultimate willpower, then you could do anything you wanted. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it trumps everything else.
You would be a pro athlete.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, because like you would eat the right diet. You would train proper. You would abstain from like drinking. You know, you'd be like, I'm not going out chasing tail. I got to get up to train in the morning, you know? And
right, right.
Yeah, you know? So, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, you would be, whatever it took to do whatever you needed to do, you would have the ultimate willpower to achieve it because nothing else would get in your way.
And it's stupid because people actually do this and they are called professional athletes, right?
Right. Or musicians.
Musicians, yes. I guess.
Yeah, like... Yeah. When we talked about, when we talked to Nomad and he was talking about how he sat in his bedroom like 12 hours a day playing guitar, you need the desire to have the willpower to be the greatest at what you're doing. And then you wind up making music for the movies and all this stuff that he does.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
How about you? What's your ultimate power?
I think what I would choose, and I've thought about this not just tonight, but I've thought about this in the past. I think what I would do is anybody I meet or anywhere I go in the world, right? So whatever country or culture or anything, I would be able to speak that person's language.
Wow.
With their dialect, know and understand their customs to be able to communicate and blend into any culture anywhere in the world.
That's cool.
For one thing, you could travel anywhere and experience everything.
Right.
But your power, but like, I don't, like, let's just say, I don't, French, I don't know. I don't know French right now, but when somebody who speaks French walks up to me, I sense that and bam, I just know French and I know everything about it in their dialect of their region of France and everything.
And you would never get, you know, looked down upon because you're speaking it with the proper intonation and you're not speaking formal French. You're speaking like colloquial, you know?
Exactly. Like I could go to Appalachia and however people... The minute I walk in, they're going to be like, oh, Yankee or whatever, right? They're going to be like, this guy's not from around here. But if you sounded exactly the way they do in Appalachia, they'd be like, oh, wow, you must live around the corner or something. Do I know you?
You could be the president of the United States. You'd probably be a great president if you did that.
Oh, and then let's say you're doing State of the Union address, right?
Right, right.
Well, people from all over the world are listening.
Yes.
Everybody hears you in their dialect.
Yeah, and they hear what you speak, and then they all hear. Right, yeah, that's awesome.
Right? So now they're like, yeah, people be like, oh, my God, he's doing the State of the Union address.
In Finnish.
in Finnish, a southern Finland dialect. And it's like, no, he's not. That's how you're hearing it, because his superpower is so amazing. That would be my superpower, I think.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, yeah, flying's too easy.
Right, right.
Or, you know, the Flash. I'll just run really fast. Now, why do you want to run fast? Just fly.
Although I did. Okay, I'm jumping ahead, but we saw the X-Men Days of Future Past because it just came to Disney Plus.
Okay.
We watched it as a family today. And
wait, is that the one where they dress up in like the old uniform in a sense?
No. That's the more recent one. That's the Dark Phoenix. But this is the older one where they had to go back. Wolverine had to go back to the 70s to destroy the Sentinel program from taking over the world.
Well, he's got the sideburns for it.
He does. He has everything. So that was fun, but it was Quicksilver's stuff in there is some of my favorite comic book stuff that he does. You know, he like when he's running around the kitchen, like pinging the bullets out of the sky, you know, moving them around so they don't hit anybody, you know. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, because he's so quick. All right. Brave New World.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
Did you read the book?
I did not read the book.
I think I was supposed to read this book and I didn't read the book. And I was like, I was so uninterested in this dystopic, you know, it was like a utopia / dystopia. But, you know, I think there's something here. I love that Han Solo, the young Han Solo is in this.
Right.
So, and he looks different. So it took me a little bit to get, you know, to place him. I want to see this, but I tried to watch it the other night. Like we said, it's on Peacock and is it a series or a movie? I forget which it is. I think it's a series. No, it's a movie, I think, but you had to watch because I don't have premium, which one did you say?
Peacock?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's premium.
Yeah. So I don't have that. So I have to watch over 3 minutes of commercials at the top of it.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, this is so long, you know? And I tried to watch it and I dropped the phone in my face. Like I was watching it in bed and I fell asleep during the commercials and I was like, oh, time to go.
Wait, you were going to watch the whole thing on your phone?
Yeah. Why not?
Oh, geez.
Plenty of people do it, Jimmy, not just me.
So do you use like earbuds?
Nah, sometimes I'll just turn it on low. Sometimes I'll use earbuds, but you know.
Oh, okay.
But I want to see this. It's out now, which is kind of, we don't normally do that, but Peacock stuff didn't seem to hit really early. I didn't feel any long lead stuff for any of this stuff, so.
Well, and the thing about this movie, I guess, the thing about it that I don't necessarily care to watch it is because I get the sense that they're trying to lull me into like a false hope. Mm-hmm. Like if you're looking to look at parallels to what's going on right now with COVID and well, all this stuff that's going on with COVID,
right?
The crazy election coming up and just all this nonsense, you know,
uh-huh.
The parallel that I get is all the social media and television and all the stuff that we do and use, video games and stuff that people do and play and watch to distract themselves from, you know, the realities and horrors of everything in the world.
Right.
I mean, I don't think this is something that I care to watch because at some point it's along the lines of what we're already doing.
Right. The dopamine hit from social media is the same as taking a pill.
Exactly. And when you see everybody lined up in the rank and file in their uniforms, it's one of those types of things. If you look at a parallel, that's what we're already doing. We're just not lined up as like robot people, mm-hmm. but we are robot people because we're all doing the same nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all doing the same things. We're all, even me and you, we talk about the shows we watch and then like, you know, and we're all just like vegetables in front of a television, you know, and I think like, man, when people look back thousands of years from now and they see every home has this panel on the wall, they're going to be like, what was this thing they worshipped? What was this idol? Yeah, it's like every home has one. It must have been a god. And in some regard, it is.
Yeah.
When you think about it, and we all stare at, you know, and I think the other thing, and I don't know who said it, it's some comedian, but he said Americans are in competition to see how many screens they could put in front between them and the and the television, you know? And yeah, it's really unbelievable. And because of all that, I mean, maybe that is the reason to watch it, to see how close it parallels.
Yeah, and I think it's a, you know, it's an interesting distillation of, you know, what we have with screens and what we have with dopamine and, you know, the pill that replaced, you know, standing in for that. And this is a book that was written well before social media. So,
oh yeah,
for it to be resonating so truthfully now, you know, it has something to say. So that's kind of what I'm interested in seeing.
If I watch it, I think when I'm finished, I will read the book. Uh-huh. And I know people always say read the book first and then watch, but I'm a firm believer you always watch first and then you go read the books.
Really?
100%.
What's your theory there?
My theory is you'll never be disappointed. You'll only be rewarded.
Okay.
Right? So you go watch, you're like, whatever, the Da Vinci Code. Mm-hmm. Watch the Da Vinci Code, Tom Hanks. You read the book, so when they were going through certain key points in the movie, some of the things, if you didn't read the book, you would have missed it because it was so quick to get through that they touched on what was going on, like in the painting and all that mm-hmm. stuff. They touched on everything that was going on, and if you didn't read the book, you would have missed it. However, when that movie was over, I was like, oh, the book was way better.
Right.
And the other side of it, I think, that where people make the mistake, and I sometimes do too, is the movie is the movie and the book is the book, and you cannot compare the two.
Right.
They're different mediums. They're different ways of telling a story. One's purely visual for the most part and auditory. Mm-hmm. The other one is reading and imagination.
Right.
You could go, if you really wanted to, you could go 10,000 pages on a book and you have no limit. A movie is bound to a 2 to 3 hour time frame, you know, unless you're Kevin Feige and you just make like a ton of movies that tells the one story.
Right.
But yeah, so my theory is, not my theory, but I watch first and then I read.
Your preference.
That's my preference, yeah. And if I do watch this, then I'll read the book and then I'll do the comparison. But yeah, but then when you read Harry Potter, you put Daniel Radcliffe's face in Harry Potter's character in the book. But if you never saw the movie, your imagination puts a face there.
Right.
And I always say, no, my imagination doesn't put a face. I don't have any face there. It's kind of like a blank slate.
Really?
That's telling me this. Yeah. But when I watch a movie, now I'm starting to put characters in.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's just how the brain works sometimes. It's different for everybody. Some people play the movie in their head and some people just roll through the story, you know?
Right. And I think but I'm so shocked to hear you say that because I think that was that like you said, for Harry Potter and what's his name, Robert Langdon or whatever, for Da Vinci Code, like they had a different view than, they didn't see Tom Hanks as that character, you know, when they read the book first. So I like how you're saying there's...
I didn't picture Tom Hanks as the character.
What's that? You didn't?
I don't know. Well, no, because I read the book first.
Right.
So I wouldn't have known, I'll put Tom Hanks in this role.
But you don't put any face at all on him?
Not typically, because, well, I think it depends on how well the author describes the character.
Right. Okay. Yes.
If they say he has sideburns and glasses and like short hair and stuff, then I might like imagine somebody. But like, if they don't do that, then maybe I won't have someone's face there. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Very interesting. Very interesting.
I don't know. what did you think about at the end for the Peacock? They had the double negative. Can't not watch.
Yeah, it's not great.
I don't like that.
It's not. I'm not a fan of it. You know, it's... They're trying everything, you know? They've done a lot of great things with this streaming service, I think. The fact that they're coming out free and it really feels like a bundle is a great thing. And it's very clearly delineated on the free version that there's a little feather on a bunch of content, which only you guys have access to as premium members or premier members or whatever it is. And that's interesting to me, like to just cleanly and clearly delineate, this is the content you get and you have to watch commercials around it and in front of it. And then here's a bunch of content that other people get for like $3.99 a month or whatever it is.
And who is your internet provider, like Cox or something, or who is it?
No, we have Spectrum.
Spectrum. That used to be Time Warner?
Used to be Time Warner, now it's Spectrum.
Okay.
But I think it's still under Warner, so there's probably going to be a deal when Warner finally comes out with their streaming service, so hopefully we'll get that for free.
Yeah.
See, I think this is the problem. It's muddying the waters between the content providers, the streaming services, and the internet providers.
Well, yeah, when the guy who controls the pipes also controls the content.
Yeah.
It all of a sudden, where's the net neutrality and all that, right?
Right.
And that's one of the things, too. I mean, you should have access to Comcast, and I should have access to Spectrum, and let their competition allow me to decide which one I want to choose. Not that we have Comcast and you have, or Xfinity, whatever.
Yeah.
And you have Spectrum because of where you live.
Where you live, and the ones, you know, they're considered utilities, but they're not, you know what I mean? It's like.
Yeah, it's so. The internet is so. It's still Wild West, but I mean, maybe we could do another episode about that or something. I don't know, but.
Oh, are you listening to The Land of the Giants? Did you listen to any of those episodes?
Have not yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm finishing up a few other episodes of stuff, and I'm going to get to that one.
Even the latest episodes is so frustrating when it talks about how they've grown so much in Hollywood. So I can't wait for you to hear it. So.
Yeah, I definitely want to, though. It is in my queue. I'm just, like I said, I have a few that I'm finishing up that I want to get finished before I start something else. Otherwise, I'll never get to the other ones. And you know how that goes.
Yep. Cascading effects.
All right. The Secret, Dare to Dream.
Did you read the book?
No, I did not read the book.
Ah, okay.
But is it safe to say that Bryce will not be watching?
Bryce is not the key demo for this movie, no.
It's like a romantic comedy or something. Maybe it's not a comedy, it's romantic.
It's a romantic. Yeah.
It's one of the hopeless, Yes. Oh, I'll never meet the right man, and you crash into the back of him, and now he's like fixing the roof on your house and whatever. Ain't going to happen. Not in this lifetime.
And your longtime boyfriend is jealous of this stranger.
Yeah, exactly. And she's going to be pitting one against the other saying, look, honey, look what he's doing. I don't know.
So part of the reason that I put this movie in the queue was because it reminded me a little bit of Phenomenon. Do you remember that movie?
It sounds familiar. I would have to see it. I don't remember.
An old John Travolta movie?
No, I have not seen Phenomenon.
Oh, you haven't seen Phenomenon?
No.
I love
this. Is it along the same lines as The Secret here?
So it's not along the same lines, but there's something about the familial relationships between the two people. Kara Sedgwick plays the mother of two kids, and then John Travolta plays the mechanic in town, and he kind of woos her throughout the movie, and some strange things happen around John Travolta and what he can do. So he's kind of has some superpowers to himself as well. So I don't know. It has a supernatural feel to it, and I don't know if I started to read the book. I didn't finish the book, but the book is all about manifesting. Are you familiar? This is another thing that's come out again more recently.
Manifesting?
Yes, manifesting, where you say things are going to happen in your life for you.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And you make a board and you put things on the board and you write things down and you say that you're going to do it and things happen. And I think one of the most famous manifesting things is Jim Carrey. He was poor growing up and kind of poor when he came out into the scene. And as he was coming up, he wrote himself like a $4 million check, and he put it in his wallet, and he had that $4 million check, and he was like, this is going to be real one day. And now, you know, now he's a huge, you know, TV and movie star. So it helped him get over that hurdle.
With a net worth of $4 million. He's like, why didn't I make the check bigger?
Damn it.
I don't know. You're going to watch this, it sounds like?
I don't know. I like the idea of it. It was an interesting story. It was an interesting book that was like a bestseller from 20, 30 years ago. So it had a special place in what I thought. And I think The Secret and The Celestine Prophecies, they're in the same kind of line. So it's an interesting idea.
And it's on demand. Is it one of those like $20 on demand? Like where are we getting this?
I don't know. I guess it's good. You're going to stream it through one of your pay services like Amazon or Apple TV, where you can pay a little extra. I hope it's not $20. This doesn't feel like you could get a lot of $20.
$9.99.
Yeah, let's do $10 for this one, please. I can't even get Anne to pay $10 to rent anything. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, we rented a movie for $7.
You did? Which one?
So in episode 87, we talked about Mother Lode. It was that bicycle cargo bike one, remember?
Oh, right.
Yeah. So they finally released it for rental. They were doing screenings forever, and like I was trying to find where a screening was, and nobody was hosting. I don't know, whatever. But with all the coronavirus stuff, they put it on Vimeo for $7. And I guess we'll just transition into what we're watching here.
Okay, let's do it. I take it you're not going to see The Secret.
Again, it's one of those. I'm not saying I won't. I just don't. I won't go out of my way to watch it. If I see it, the price is right, especially if it's free. Not free, but like included with something. Then, yeah, I might be like, oh, me and Ted talked about this. Let's watch it.
I would rather you listen to the Land of the Giants than watch it.
On a Saturday night at 8 o'clock, when Quinn says, watch a movie, I'll say, no, I would rather listen to Land of the Giants.
Let's just look in each other's eyes and listen to this podcast.
That's right. But yeah, Mother Lode, so we rented it. It was $7 on Vimeo. Like I said, episode 87.
Awesome.
You could go listen to our thoughts then and my thoughts now. I might even listen then, see what I think of it. I thought it was good. I didn't like the order in how she told the story.
Mm.
So she led with her depression, climate change, everything's going to hell. I mean, you want to hang yourself in the first 5 minutes of this thing.
Oh, no.
And you're thinking to yourself, like, anybody who's into bikes is going to stick with it because they want to see how she tells her story.
Right.
Anybody who's not, I think you lose them in the first 5 minutes.
Right.
Way too depressing. So what she does is, She tells about her story, how she was so depressed and she couldn't get a job. And she was like, she's kind of like a movie writer, screenwriter type person, but like can't get any gigs and everything's falling through and she doesn't know where to turn and everything's just upside down in the world. Climate change, and there's her kids. And she shows like the scene of her kids looking like, oh my God, my future's over.
Right.
And they're only like one, you know?
And this is the stuff that was in the trailer, too. They did that in the trailer, too.
Exactly, yeah.
And the kid dropped the ice cream and he's crying or something, right?
Like, that's how it opens. And I'm just like, oh, my God, man, this is like awful, you know? And then she tells the story about these different guys who were engineers and they developed like cargo bikes and stuff. And then she dabbles in and out of the history of bikes, how the history of how bikes were involved with different women's movements, voting stuff, women's suffrage.
Right.
And the 1960s, for example, and how bikes were involved with like civil rights and how, you know, and so in and out, she kind of goes with the history of this stuff, which was a bit disjointed.
But was it good? Would it have been better to lead with like some history and then dabble in it? Or,
well, that's exactly my notes.
Oh, sorry.
No, but you're right, though. Yeah. And then she gets into like, well, here's how great bikes are. And then she would go back to her depression and then back to history and then back to, oh, I'm riding bikes again. And these people are doing great things, but yet they're getting yelled at on the street. And it was just like, I think it was disjointed and kind of all over the place. It was scattered.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It didn't really follow a good linear progression, in my opinion.
Right.
I think had they started off with just tell me the history. When the history is over, leave it.
Mm-hmm.
you don't need to keep bouncing back to the history, you know?
Right.
And then talk about like how that history leads into cargo bikes. And here's the guys who are building cargo bikes. Now that the cargo bikes exist, tell me about your depression and your coming of age of whatever's going on. And then here's the cure and all these great people doing great things. I think if you did something like that, it would have been like, it would have started off educational. It would have moved into inspiration. It would have moved into the, you know, then you have like the turn where it's down.
Right, right.
And you're like, oh man, you know, and like your heart's bending. And then all of a sudden it's like the upswing to where, but I have the solution. I think that would have been a way better way to approach it than the way she did. It was, like I said, it seemed disjointed and kind of all over the place.
So it's so awesome that you said that, because I think we just started The Last Dance. I'll let you, you know, we talked about The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary about the Bulls.
I haven't seen it. I heard it's awesome.
So it came out in ESPN a month ago and it was on ESPN Plus mm-hmm. back then, but now it's finally on Netflix. It was a co-production between ESPN Plus and Netflix. So Netflix has it now. And we had just finished up watching Padma Lakshmi's Taste the Nation. So that ended and we didn't have anything else family. And I didn't want to start Apocalypse, which is the next X-Men movie, because we're going to do this podcast. So I said, what do we have, an hour to kill? Let's watch the first episode of The Last Dance. And it does time shift, like from the last, you know, the last NBA playoffs that they're trying to win as the double, triple dynasty that they were in the 90s, right?
Right.
And it's the beginning of that last season where they start. But then they do this great transition thing where they show the face of the person they're going to talk about, and they show a timeline. And then like your radio dial in the olden days, they have the timeline go way back. And then it shows like Michael Jordan at North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a Tar Heel. And then it takes you back there. And then the second episode starts and it shows you Scottie Pippen. And then it goes way back and it shows you Scottie Pippen growing up. So it does time jump. But it does it with such mastery and such balance. And, you know.
But it's not disjointed.
It's not disjointed. It's all for purpose. Right. It's all purpose driven, and it has a balance. You know, we talk about balanced beers and balanced, you know, trailers. And again, this is balanced storytelling where you don't hit somebody over the head with all of the depressing stuff first.
You don't start with Michael Jordan's dad dying.
Right. Exactly. You know, and it's just such a mastery of masterful play of a documentary with such a rich, rich video crew. And like somewhere in the middle of somewhere closer to the beginning of the first episode, they tell you that a film crew was allowed to follow them for this sixth try at a playoff, you know, NBA championship. And to have that kind of wealth of video footage that, you know, I'm sure they made a quick documentary at the end of that season to recount it. But then to have a film crew following around these legends that you know are legends because they've won it five times already in a decade. And now they're gonna try for a sixth, but they kind of have these demons that are coming at them, and these, you know, villains that they play up in the press and in real life and money and all that stuff. And it's just so masterfully done. So that's just so fresh in my mind. And it's funny. You talk about a documentary and then I'm watching this thing that is this masterful documentary, you know, and I think with time or even with a re-edit, that I'm sure that story of Motherlode could be told in a better way.
Yeah. And maybe that's what, I mean, otherwise it was really good. It's just, like you said, a re-edit or something. And I think that's the major thing. But moving on, we saw The Old Guard last night on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Yeah, it was good. I had to laugh, though, because did you see it or no?
I haven't seen it yet. I watched the first 5 minutes and she's laying there with a bullet in her head.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way I'm going to sell this to Anne. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to, there's not, I'm not necessarily spoiling. Maybe I am. I don't know. I don't think I am. But essentially, wherever she, you know, you, well, you know, I mean, like, they've been around
the story,
for like,
right. Yeah, she's the oldest,
thousands of years, yeah, whatever. Yeah, 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 exactly. And wherever she goes,
war follows or something. Yeah.
She's the catalyst. Well, no, not war necessarily. She's the catalyst for all the great things in the world.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, so maybe I am spoiling something. I don't know, but. But she's the catalyst for, like, all the great things that happen, because what she does 300 years before whatever happens, that's like the butterfly effect that then leads to all the stuff that allows Martin Luther King to do what Martin Luther King did, for example.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's, but I had to laugh, though. I'm like, okay, so that's great. She does something, and then the world is like a better place because of it. But how many hundreds of thousands of people does she kill in the process? You know, it's like that. That was the thing that I thought was hilarious. But overall, yeah, it was entertaining. It was good. I made popcorn because it's like a popcorn kind of movie. And well, we could talk about it later. But we remember we asked, like, what's do they indicate what is the thing for immortality?
Oh, yes. Yeah, how they did, how they live.
Yeah, and they don't, but that's part of the story.
Okay.
I don't want to ruin anything there, but
Let me watch, and then we'll talk about it in when I.
Yeah, like we were talking about, like, well, do they indicate, like, what is the thing that allows them to live forever? Mm-hmm. And there's a few things in there that would be spoilers for sure.
Okay. They don't fall in a pickle vat, though. No pickle.
But they
vat.
No. But they do address it. Because I think, just like we asked, I think everyone else asked, why are they living forever? And they do address that.
Including the executives.
The executives were like, okay, how does he live forever? Well, we didn't think that far, sir. Started watching on Netflix, Bobby Kennedy for President.
Ooh.
It's a documentary from 2018. And saw the first couple episodes. And, it's a limited series. It's interesting, though, because it gives you a pause to think, well, what if he didn't get killed and Nixon wasn't the president and Bobby Kennedy was the president? And what would things be like today just by having a different president in the 1970s, right, early 1970s, yes, late 60s? But what would that be like, and how would that have changed the course of things? Like, would Clinton have been president? Would Reagan have been president?
How would it have cascaded?
I mean, I don't know.
Differently, yeah.
Would a president like Obama have come sooner, maybe? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, like, what would be the difference, you know?
Unknown.
Yeah, it gives you pause. And I still, they haven't really gotten to this yet, but I still say the mob was involved. Because when he was the attorney general under his brother, he went hard after the Teamsters and the mafia and everything. Yeah. And I think they were just like, we got to get rid of this guy.
So you think Sirhan was part of the, was a hack for them?
I think he was hired.
Hired gun. Interesting.
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah. I mean, they haven't gotten there yet, so we'll find out. But, and then we watched Goodfellas.
Oh, wait. Yes, this is exciting.
Clarissa never saw Goodfellas.
You texted me that, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, so I said something about Goodfellas. She said, I never saw it. I said, what? I said, well, we're watching it tonight. And I think it was like last Sunday or something.
Uh-huh.
No.
It had to be.
Last Monday, yeah. Maybe, because we recorded Sunday. And I said, okay, we're going to watch that, you know? And so we stayed up. We watched it. Man, that movie totally holds up.
That's awesome.
It is so solid. It is so on point. I would say the only things that don't hold up are like at the very end when they say so-and-so went to prison for 10 years and, you know, but it's like, man, these guys are dead now. You know, because it's so long ago. Right. But if you think of it in the time frame it was done, then that makes sense. The end information that they give you. But overall, though, the filming, the editing, the acting, the storytelling, it's solid. It could have been filmed. It could have just been released. It holds up that well.
It is a quintessential movie of the ages. Was Clarissa as impressed as we are upon rewatching it?
Yeah, I asked her that. She said it was good. She's like, but I don't know why you're so crazy about it. Because I knew like half the lines, yeah, and stuff, you know.
Is it a guy thing?
Maybe.
Oh, it's so good.
I don't know.
It's so good.
Yeah. Oh, it's solid. It is a solid. It's in my top five.
Yeah. for sure.
Top five. And I mean, just the storytelling, the narration that goes on while the movie's going on. And I mean, it's great.
Every now and then I'll listen to a podcast while I'm in the shower. And if I hear something really, really cool in a podcast while I'm listening in the shower, I like to beat the walls and pretend I'm Henry Hill cheering on my brothers at the Lufthansa
right, heist, right, right. You know? Yeah, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
And to me, that part of the movie where the Lufthansa thing happens, it's my favorite part of the movie because Henry Hill was not involved in that heist, and yet his buddies were happy about it happening. And then when it happened, and when they finally saw each other again, he still got a little taste of it. You know what I mean? He got a little side action from it, and I was like, "That's so cool!" like if I were to get if you got a raise, I wouldn't be expecting to get something from your raise, or if I got a raise, you know what I mean? It's such a weird fraternity that moment within it is funny to me. And I think recently one of the last guys that was in the real Lufthansa heist that really happened in history. I think one of the last people passed away.
Oh, wow.
And they talked about it on the radio, and I was like, "Ah, oh, that's so awesome. That's a Goodfellas." And then the radio people were like, "Yes, this is the one that was, you know, dramatized in the movie Goodfellas." And I was like, "Oh, man, so cool."
Well, yeah, he was probably the last one because he killed everybody else. You know, I mean, that was how it went down. And then we have one episode left of Devs. We have to watch the final episode.
I want to thank you for sticking it out. I feel really bad that I told you to do it but I tried to watch it back, and because I have the free version of Hulu, trying to time shift and to jump around to find the one scene that I was looking for is nearly impossible.
Well, it's episode 5.
Okay, episode 5 is the one. Okay.
Yeah, and they were in that cube or whatever you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it is, it goes on, it's like, whoa, 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 you know? And you're watching, and I forget what they were even doing in there. Was it when they were resurrecting the rat or something?
Yes, they were time shifting between the rat decomposing and then not going back and forth.
That's what it was. Yeah. But yeah, that's episode. You said 4, and that's why when I
said 4, I was all off.
When I watched 4, I was like, I don't know what Ted's talking about. And then I watched 5. I'm like, oh, that's what he was talking about. Yeah. So how about yourself? What are you watching?
So I did the thing where I said that I was trying to find that episode. So thank you for telling me it's episode 5. And I couldn't, every time I tried to fast forward, it would make me watch more commercials and more commercials and more commercials.
Isn't that the worst?
Yeah. And I'm fine with watching commercials when we're just watching something. But if I'm looking for something, don't make me watch commercials because I'm fast forwarding and I watch 2 minutes and I realize this isn't where I want to be, you know, the part I want to look at.
May I interject? I've noticed that with YouTube. Have you been watching YouTube lately?
No, little bit.
I subscribe to a few different, I hate to call them podcasts, but they're like live streams that people do. So like Skeptic's Guide to the Universe podcast on Fridays, they do a live stream since the COVID-19 stuff has been going on. Uh-huh. So I'll watch that sometimes. I subscribe to this British cycling network, GCN, Global Cycling Network, I guess. And it's like this British bicycling thing. And then there's a couple other things that I'll check out once in a while. The commercials and the ads on YouTube are running wild. I mean, sometimes they let you skip it after 5 seconds. Other times you're forced to watch the whole thing. I would say in the past month, maybe month and a half, they're trying to sell you like YouTube Premium.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just beating you down with commercials to say, I know you want to watch this. You keep watching. You've been watching this for years.
We have the algorithm that tells us that you will watch 10 commercials to see this content.
Yeah, they know, right? I mean, I'm at my wit's end with YouTube. Like, I want to see the stuff on there, and I think it's still a good platform, but man, oh man, like, the ads are just, it's stupid. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
But
it's important.
It had to be talked about because,
it's important.
Yeah.
It's important. And this kind of leads, it dovetails not so perfectly, but the episode that I ended up watching was the one about Kenton, which is the security guard.
Yeah.
When the security guard dunks the new boyfriend in the tub.
In the tub, yeah. Right.
That whole soliloquy about this is the Chinese century, it is so true. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
How true. Yeah. Is this statement that he made about the fact that we had thought as a country this was going to be our century and we would take over after the Cold War, and now everybody's talking, this is, you know, now this is post Debs, but with all of this, it's like we are in the new Cold War with China and they're kicking our ass. You know what I mean? And it all started with Tiananmen Square. And Tiananmen Square was this monumental historical moment in time where the world knew that China could overcome anything. Sad to say that it kind of dovetails with my superpower. They had the perfect will to do whatever they wanted to do with their people, you know?
When you think about it, the military from the countryside rolls in and mows down people in the city.
Right.
The people in the countryside, they don't empathize with people in the city because they've never lived in the city, so they don't even care. So they're told to go kill all these people. Okay.
And you never talk about it again. And all historical references of it are removed from history.
In China.
And you just wipe it out in China, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you make it illegal to talk about, and then you move on from there. And that's what I said. It kind of dovetails what you're talking about with YouTube, because YouTube is having their lunch handed to, having their asses handed to them by TikTok, which is another Chinese company who's using short form user generated content.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So TikTok is, you know, a huge platform. They have a brand new CEO that's an American CEO, and we'll see what comes of it. But they have a lot of algorithms that are Chinese algorithms, and you know, there's a different TikTok inside China than outside China. But there's a lot of consternation in the government about allowing TikTok in, but it doesn't even matter because it's come in at the personal level. And I think what the internet was supposed to do to China, when Bill Clinton said they'll never figure out how to curtail the internet, so let's send the internet over into China, and then that will make, you know, the type of Western democracy that we have here over there because of the internet. I think more likely the reverse has happened. We'll have this oppressive consumerism, capitalism that China has infecting into America. So this is the struggle for the next 100 years.
The other side of the YouTube ads versus like Hulu FX ads.
Right.
And other ads along, like you said, with even with Peacock and things. Mm-hmm. What upsets me about it isn't necessarily the ads. It's that if you're going to watch Hulu and an FX show, and that show, like Devs, has a high budget and they're going to have an ad roll to sell soap in the valley. And selling soap in the valley is what they're using to pay for the actors and, you know, everything that Devs has, if you're going to use Devs as an example, mm-hmm. versus a podcast that's live streaming from their bedrooms and dens and home offices and so on for people that don't make really much money, and an ad's going to roll. YouTube takes whatever the ad is and they spit out crumbs to these people.
Right.
I think there's a problem that I have with it is you're going to have these ads roll and you're not giving the people whose content is generating the ad the money that they're due, because Google probably takes 90%, I don't even know what it is, but they take a high percentage of that ad revenue and they kick crumbs to the people who are generating the content.
Well, I think there is it's a tiered system. So I think if you are a driver and you have the million subscribers or something like that, you get a better take. So I think as far as like YouTube's interesting because I think they do pay their artists well, the generators of their content. I think Instagram is the place where you don't get any of that. Instagram and Facebook, you don't, as the generator of content over there, you don't get a take.
You get nothing.
But they're starting to. They're starting to use that model in those on those platforms. So it will be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, what else have you been watching?
Okay, so during the week, we did not watch a lot, but...
What?
Because we were busy, work, you know, getting everything going. But we made up for it over the weekend. On Saturday, we watched three movies. No, wait. On Friday, we watched three movies. No, it had to be Saturday. On Saturday, we watched three movies. We watched Psych 2, Lassie Come Home, which is brand new on Peacock. It premiered on Peacock, and we actually loved the Psych series, Ann and I. Were you ever a fan of Psych?
Never heard of Psych.
Oh, it's an old USA TV show. Ann and I were big into USA. A bunch of USA series we were into. Psych, Monk.
Oh, Monk, yeah.
Yeah, Royal. Monk's probably the biggest one of all of them.
Yeah.
And then we saw Blinded by the Light, which was what Bryce wanted to watch. Bryce really wanted to see this movie about Bruce Springsteen, and there's a little Pakistani boy in the UK that loves Bruce Springsteen, and then he follows his dreams to become a writer, and he ends up seeing Bruce Springsteen 150 times in concert, and this is about his growing up.
Wow. Yeah. True story,
yeah. You know,
wow.
He's quite kind of amazing writer, and he joined up with the producer director of Bend It Like Beckham, who's also an Indian from the UK, and she produced this movie.
Okay.
So it's kind of a fun movie, but I don't know, it has a weird beats to it. It took a long time to get to Bruce Springsteen. I mean, Bruce Springsteen's not in it, but his music is in it, and his music doesn't show up till like a third of the way into the movie, which I thought was strange. And then we ended up that evening with Captain America Winter Soldier. That's just an old tried and true kind of thing. But to expand my children's repertoire, I told Anne, I think the kids can watch Knives Out. So Knives Out is one of, you know, Anne and my favorite movies of the year. And, you know, she knows the couple of scenes that Bryce couldn't handle. So we watched it together as a family, and it was amazing. It was such a good movie. Another one of those things where you say, you know, balance. Have you seen Knives Out?
No, I have not.
Oh, you have to see it. I forget what it's on. It might be HBO, which I don't think you have, but check it out. It is an amazing movie, and you and Chris will love it. It is a whodunit to beat the band.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, so I love that. The first time I saw it, to watch it with the family and to have my daughter try to outguess us. You know, you only have to tell her about 100 times, just watch the movie and then we'll figure out what's going on.
That's so funny.
And then today we watched Days of Future Past, X-Men Days of Future Past, which is another family viewing for kind of an older demo than the Avengers stuff, a little more violent than the Avengers stuff. And Anne brought up the article that she read recently about Avengers versus X-Men. And I agreed with her. You know, we've talked about it many a time, but Kevin Feige as a showrunner for a decade's worth of movies, as opposed to, you know, X-Men, which is kind of dealt with in little vignettes of trilogies of different directors and different showrunners. So, you know, I think we hold a lot of promise for the next X-Men franchises, the next X-Men movies that are coming up. And then, like I said, this Last Dance, which is just phenomenal storytelling and such an uplifting story of the greatest team in my mind. And you're from Chicago, so you've got to love them. But
that's right. How could I not? I loved it. And yeah, I've always wanted to watch it. Well, not always. I mean, it's only been out a couple of months, I think.
Yeah.
But I remember my cousin Chuck told me about it, and I said, man, I got to watch that, and I totally forgot about it. I don't know how I did, but now you reminded me, and I'm all over it now.
There you go. Good.
Yeah, and I was looking. I can't find what episode we watched Knives, or we reviewed Knives Out, so you'll just have to go listen to all of them to find out.
Download all of them, whether you listen or not. It's okay.
All right. So cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching The Last Dance.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, we are out of time, I think, tonight.
We are.
We'll get back with episode 128 next week. And until then, go watch something fun and listen to Trailer Junkies podcast and share with your friends.
Awesome. See you next week.
All right, man.
Bye.
Later.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.